there. Take your Bibles, if you will, please. Turn to Exodus chapter 14. Appreciate you being here this morning. Really do. I preached a message back in April of this year called, Is This a Red Sea? And since then, and actually I decided that's what I was going to preach last Sunday evening down in Walkertown, and we did. And I don't know whether, when I've had more response from a message than I did from that one. Of course, I had a chance to try it out on you and refine it by the time I get down there. But I had folks all week tell me that they prayed. They said that you said the message was just for me. In fact, I had two of them kind of arguing nicely. No, it was just for me. No, it was just for me. But anyway, the fact is, the reason it feels that way is because it's something we all need. Now, this morning, to be honest with you, I've thought this thing through and some things I wanted to share. So I'm going to do, Is This a Red Sea, the sequel? And there's a few things that I wanted us to see, some applications that I want us to have this morning. So I hope that it will be a blessing to you, and I think it will. Let me read a few verses here. I am not going to re-preach the message, but I do want to give you a couple principles at the beginning of this so that it makes sense when we get to the end, and I'm making some other applications. So I hope you'll bear with me. Exodus? Exodus chapter 14, verse number 8, if you will. Exodus chapter 14, verse number 8. This is the parting of the Red Sea, of course, and that's, we've gone through all the Moses saying, the Lord said, let my people go, and Pharaoh said, no, and all this. We've been through all that. We've been through all the plagues and the killing of the firstborn and all those things, and they're heading out of town with a high hand. When it says with a high hand, you can go back and study. Really what it means is that they said, go borrow things from your neighbors, and fact is it got to the point where the Egyptians basically paid them to get out of town. What do you want? Just go. Here, take it. Get out of here. We're done. You know, my child's dead. We've had these plagues, the flies and the lice and the frogs and the, oh my soul, get out of town. They all knew it was from God. They all knew it. It wasn't, they didn't think it was a coincidence. They all knew it was from God. So they went out with a high hand. This is kind of where we are. And we get verse number 8. It says, the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. Now, just so you know, we're not Calvinists here. When it says Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, what it means is the Lord knows, in the foreknowledge of God, he knows Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh was not about, he said, who was the Lord that I should obey him? He didn't care about him. He bowed up his back. But the fact is, what it meant was, he's going to go ahead, since Pharaoh was not going to let him go. Pharaoh was not going to turn to God. He was going to kind of get up his ire. He was going to get his pride up. By the way, there was a pride march in Harrisburg. I think that's a good name for it. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what we mean, just saying. Okay, so it says in verse 8, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. So they're heading out of town, taking all the goodies with them, and they're out of town. They're heading out of town, and all of a sudden Pharaoh says, this isn't right. It's almost like they won. They actually won. Verse 9, but the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Pi-hahiroth before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, when Pharaoh and all his chariots and his soldiers started coming up, and you could probably feel the ground shaking. You know what I mean? When they came rolling into the area there. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, they cried unto the Lord, but they said unto Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, that hast thou taken us away to die in a wilderness? Kind of be facetious here. Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Why'd you take us out of there? Because you were slaves. You were being killed, abused, used. And you were going to be stuck there, and your children were going to be stuck there, and your children, their children were going to be stuck there. That's why I got you out of here. And by the way, God was working through all this, and he had gotten them out. They saw all the plagues and so forth, and how sometimes God would actually put a plague on the Egyptians and not on the Israelites. They were right across town. Verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? Wasn't that something? The Egyptians, and Egypt's always a picture of the world. How many people around have you served? Let me alone and let me serve the world. By the way, whom you serve, that's whose servant you are. You serve sin, the sin's got the best of you. You don't have to be chained to that sin. For it had been better for us, verse 12, to serve that Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. So they're complaining. Verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Go ahead and let me take care of it. When I take care of it, it's taken care of. Verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Be quiet and let the Lord do something. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? And it goes on. He says, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now he's telling this to Moses. It doesn't say he's making a PA announcement to all the people. It wasn't on the radio, wasn't on the internet. They didn't put PA speakers up here so everybody else in the Israelites could tell what was going on. But it was going on. Just because we don't know it doesn't mean God's not working behind the scenes. Okay? Verse 60, but lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. See that? He says this is going to be a good thing. It looks like a bad thing because they're going to get mad at you and they're going to come running at you. The Egyptians are going to become right for you, but it's a good thing. Just hang tight. He says, I'm going to do this. And they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And Egyptians shall know, the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed, so make sure you get the picture. The Israelites have come up into a corner. They've worked their way into a corner. Exactly, on God's direction. They've got mountain on one side, they've got the Red Sea over here, and they've got the Egyptians coming at them. So they're basically surrounded. They are surrounded. There's no place to go. And so there was a fire, the Lord was between them, and actually he had been guiding them, and they followed the pillar of cloud during the day into this corner. So God is the one that led them there. And so the cloud pulls up and it comes around over here and gets between the Israelites and the Egyptians. And so we've got this cloud of fire, this cloud of, it's a pillar of cloud, a pillar of fire, and it comes up between them. Verse 19, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all the night. So one didn't know what the other one was doing. You know, one of the things we fear most is the unknown. You don't know, you know, it gets scary. Taking those steps. Verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. So it's not like it is on the movie, you know, Ben on the Ten Commandments. It all happened all at one time. They sat there with the fire, the pillar of fire between them and the Egyptians, all night. They didn't hear their conversation with God. So there they are, all night. It was a long night. You've had some long nights? Tomorrow's a big day. And we lay awake all night worrying about it. Sometimes things go on, we're laying awake night after night after night because we don't know what's going on. wait a minute, God's still working behind the scenes. We just don't know anything about it. It says that he made the sea dry land and the waters were divided. So God's all night going, which is no big deal for God. Verse 22, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning, watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians. God has a sense of humor. And he took off their chariot wheels, that they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the race of Israel, the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. You know what's happening? The Egyptians are realizing that God, the Lord is God. He says, I'm going to get me honor among them. They're going to know who I am. But meantime, here sits the Israelites behind a cloud and besides the water, and here, you know. They're scared all night. They're shaking in their boots. They don't know what's going on. Meantime, God's doing all this work, and God is doing a work where he's showing his power to the Egyptians. And the Lord said, verse 26, and the Lord said to Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, and the waters may come upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, upon their horsemen. And then Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptian fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea. After them, there remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry ground in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus, everything we just read there. So therefore, thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared. And the Lord. They feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Let's pray. And we're going to talk about, is this a Red Sea? The sequel. Father, we thank you for your blessings and thank you for your word. Pray, Lord, you'll speak to us here this morning. Give us exactly what we need. And we'll give you the praise for it. In Christ's name, amen. Now, I preached this original message last Sunday night, and I preached to you all about April, but there's a few points I want us to see here. I want us to ponder concerning this thought. God has a plan, and that plan is to conform us into his image. He also has some plans of what he wants us to do in life. He has a plan for your life. It may not be, it may be totally different. Well, it's going to be totally different than somebody else's plan. Every single soul is different. Even when there's twins, they have a different soul. Yeah, I mean, every person is different, and God has a special plan that he works out within the body of Christ. And I know there seems to be an insurmountable problem sometimes. And we come up with some things, and we think we're doing God's plan, and all of a sudden this thing comes rises up out of the middle of nowhere. We have no place to go, and it looks like it's insurmountable, but it's just a Red Sea. That's all it is. It's just a Red Sea. And here, let God blow on it and it'll be all better. God can certainly breathe and move a Red Sea out of the way, just like a mother blows on a child's soup and makes it all better. God just blows on the problem. I don't want to re-preach it, but let me give you a couple points here. Number one, from last time, just put it in your hand, in your mind here. God has a plan. In our passage here, if you go back, you don't need to turn to it, just to save time. Exodus 3:7 says this, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. And I am come down, here it is, I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. God says, I've got a plan, I've seen the problem, I'm here to fix it. Now get that in your head. There is a problem. God's there. His plan is to come down and he's going to take care of it. God has a plan for the world. We see that throughout the Bible. But God has a plan for this church. God has a plan for your family. God has a plan for you personally. God has a plan. Whatever it is, God has a plan, and the plan has been set since before the foundation of the world. He knew all about it. He knows what you're going through right now. He has a plan. As long as we do not refuse to go with God, God's plan will continue to move forward as planned. If we refuse to go with Him, then don't expect the plan to go smoothly. If we go off on our own path, you're going to get out in the briars and the thorns and out on the rough spots. You can't go out and get away from God's plan and expect it to go smoothly. Even when we're in God's plan, sometimes He takes us through a path we didn't expect to go, like up against the Red Sea. But the fact is, there's a plan. If we refuse to follow His plan, however, you'd be surprised, God is willing to rework the plan if we're willing to turn around and follow Him. God did not think up a plan that was too big for Him. You say, well, here we are. No, He didn't think of a plan that's too big for Him. God didn't have some wild idea and then got off in the middle of it and realized He bit off more than He could chew. God did not get in the middle of His plan and realize, wait a minute, this won't work. God has a plan. He knew what the plan is. It's all worked out from the beginning to the end. God even tells them, He says, now during the plan, there's going to be some opposition. Just because God has a plan and you're going with the plan doesn't mean it's always going to feel smooth. Doesn't mean it's always going to be smooth sailing, because the fact is, His plan is for you to be conformed into His image. You go back to Romans 8 and go back and study it. It's talking about all these issues and problems. And He says, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, are called according to His purpose. Why does He have to say, for we know all things work together for good? Because not all things are good, but they work together for good. He said, I thought this was all going to be good. Oh, I didn't say it was all going to be good. It's going to end up being good, but I didn't mean the trip's always good. There's some things that are going to take you through, because I'm going to build your faith. Some people get saved and think, well, everything's going to go smooth. Now, that's not necessarily true. And so He says in Exodus 7, verse 3, He says, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay, this before it's all happened, before all this started, before the plagues, before all those things, He says, I'm going to get underneath of Pharaoh's skin, and he's going to give you a hard time. But He says in verse 5, an Egyptian shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. They're going to know who God is. Sometimes God uses us to show somebody else who God is. And sometimes it's not really sweet. It's not really good. Well, we live in a world where it's all about us. Wait a minute. It's all about Him. We're here to bring glory to Him. And whatever does the best job bring glory to Him, that's what we should be surrendered to. God has a plan, and God knows how to work the plan. Exodus 13 says, God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people around through the way of His wilderness of the Red Sea. So God took them around this back way, a way they didn't even think was right. In their eyes, it didn't make sense. But in God's plan, it made perfect sense. And He says, this is the way I'm going to take you. It's part of the plan. Number two, God has the power to make the plan a success. He showed, remember, you know the story, God showed him the rod and said, throw it down, it'll become a serpent, and bring it back up. And then when He does it in front of Pharaoh, He throws it down, and their Egyptians do the same thing. But the serpent made out of his rod eats up the other serpents, all this kind of stuff. You know, so He had the thing where He put His hand in there, and it came out, it was leprous, put it back in, came back, it was clean. Then He had the waters to blood, the plague of frogs, the lice, the flies, all the animals of Egypt die, the animals of Israel fine, boils, killing hail, locusts, all this thing. A biblical proportions. Listen, all these things happened. God has the power to make it happen. Remember that. God has a plan. God has the power. Number three, God has proven Himself. He was taking care of them. He has provided for them. By the way, you've gotten this far by God's provision. He's proven Himself. He's prospered us. He has a way of proving Himself. So God has a plan. God has the power. God has proven Himself before. Number three, we found out, number four here, God has a problem. The problem is, the fact is, He put us here. Since He put us here, it's His problem. We get all upset because here I am. What am I going to do? Well, God, you messed up. I guess I'm going to have to step in here and fix this thing. No, God has a problem because God put us there. You've got to remember this. You've got to remember this. This is God's plan, so it's God's problem. When issues rise, we are ready to stop and turn around and go back to where we came from as if we are the ones that got us this far. The problem is in front of us. It's not our problem. The problem is God's problem. It's God's plan. It's God's job to prosper and provide for us. And our job is to simply obey. It's His problem. Watch this. God knew where the problems would be. He put them there. You remember when we did this a few months ago, the fact is, who created the heavens and the earth? So who put the Red Sea there? Who put the mountains there? I can't hear you. Yeah, okay. Now, He put it there. Now, God didn't forget where He put them. He didn't come around the corner of the mountain and go, oh, my soul, there's a Red Sea. I forgot to put that thing. Daggone it. And those mountains, oh, my soul, oh, my. What are we going to do? Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go back to Egypt for a little while until I figure this all out. All right, throw her in reverse. No, he knew all about it. He says, I'm going to get honor on Pharaoh. He knew exactly what he was doing. He put it there on purpose so that everyone will know the Lord, He is God. So when we're in the middle of His plan and everything goes haywire, let's not give up hope. God knew what He was doing, and it's His problem. The Red Sea was never put there in intentions of stopping them. The Red Sea was placed with the purpose of showing God's power and strength. So what that means is this is not our problem. It looks big. We're tempted to stop in our tracks. We're tempted to turn back. Suddenly we're tempted to count everything that's happened up until now as a coincidence. Funny how we do that. God does something, and then something bad happens. Before long, we forgot everything He's ever done. It looks like God stopped directing. He stopped providing. He stopped prospering. But God is simply showing His power, and this is simply a Red Sea. If the solution to the problem was within our reach, we would circumvent God and do it ourselves. But He gave us one that's totally impossible. Well, this is fine, God. Now we got an impossible problem. But nothing's impossible with God. Because the solution is beyond us, we will be able to see God work. Because the solution is beyond you, God has the opportunity to show to you who He is. Don't lose hope at a Red Sea. Now, I'm going to give you a couple points here from that plan. Hope you understand the basic story. You say, well, why didn't you preach it that fast last time? Because you wouldn't have gotten it all. I just brought back a bunch of memories. All right, going to start all over again. Number one, this is a plan that God established. This is a plan that God established. I had a few folks down there this weekend that kind of worried me just a little bit. Because all of a sudden they started applying this principle to some places it shouldn't be applied to. Okay? And then they're going to turn around and say, well, God didn't work. Okay? So I want to help you here. First thing is, we need to determine if what you are experiencing is really a new problem that we have caused, or if this is just another Red Sea in the midst of God's plan where God is going to strengthen our faith. This may be a Red Sea in the midst of His plan. God's conforming us to His image. However, I think there are some times that this is a problem unrelated. God uses all things within, all things work together for good. I understand that. But there are some things that were not necessarily part of His plan. It's something we stuck in there. Have you ever wandered off the straight and narrow path and found yourself in the briars? If you have, now wait a minute. God said, and we do this. I know this is, I've had guys, I'm gonna say some things here this morning. I'm here to make you mad. But I want to help you. But I've had guys who, you know, some guy, and that, you know, the Bible says it's not good for a man to be alone. And that's the truth. Ladies, you all know that. You've been away for 2 days, you come back to the house, it's not good for men to be alone. It's just obvious. We are tough talkers, but we need a mommy. Every man needs somebody who can lay his head in her lap. That's the honest to goodness truth. Big and tough as they are. And I've seen guys who, well, you know, Lord knows I need a wife. And so I was sitting at the bar, and down the end of the bar, there she was. First of all, what's he doing at the bar? He's already off the straight and narrow path. He's out in the briars before he ever got started. Going down to the end of the bar and finding some strange woman is not going to help him either. So then all of a sudden, he says, well, you know, she helped me. She makes me feel good. Listen, you told her all your problems. And this is the honest good truth. When a man tells his heart to a woman, it's almost the same as if a woman unbuttons a couple buttons on her blouse. She said, I'm going to let you in a little further than I wouldn't let anybody else. And when a guy opens up his heart, she feels like she knows him. It's a turn on. I shouldn't tell you this, guys, but it's the fact is, you go down and you share your heart to the woman, all of a sudden you feel like, he trusts me. He cares for me. He must love me. Now, he's just unloading on you. And then you start smiling and paying attention. And say, oh, man, she likes me. A hunk of burning love. That's what I am, you know. Looking at it totally different. Now, he goes off on some path, and all of a sudden he's sitting in the briars. Don't call that a Red Sea, because that wasn't part of God's plan. Now, he knew that you were going to do it, and he may use that to conform you to his image, but listen, chances are that was your issue, and you're going to have to do it with God's help. He's going to help you dig out of there, but you're going to have to make some decisions to walk back out, back to the path where you were supposed to be in the first place. So just because you're having a bad time, you made some poor decisions, you didn't read your Bible, you didn't make those decisions, doesn't mean, well, this is just a Red Sea God's going to blow away. No. Pharaoh has some problems at the Red Sea, but it wasn't just God wasn't going to blow away his problems. God blew some problems on him. So we need to determine, okay, is this something, did I get in this place because I was following God's plan for my life? If you've wandered off, what we need to do is we need to repent, turn around and go back to the right path and follow it. Wherever you got off path, go back there, confess it, forsake it, start over again. And by the way, you might have some cuts and some bruises from those briars and snares over there. And they may be with you the rest of your life. But don't blame that as being a Red Sea part of God's plan. Okay? How about this? Have you been pushing doors open? Have you been getting ahead of God? I've seen preachers do this. They get in the middle of a program or whatever, they get in their church, and they're pushing doors open. Pushing, forcing. That's one reason why I will not do a pledge program here. We're building a building, and most churches, in fact, all the banks say, well, why don't you? I said, all the other churches do. I said, we're not like all the other churches. They want me to come to you and say to you, how much are you going to give to our building program in the next 5 years? What can I put you down for? Oh, get it out. Okay, can we squeeze it up a little bit more? They want me. That's what they want me to do. You know what Moses did when they got ready to build the tabernacle? He says, come of your own free will and give. And that's what we'll use. That's how we're doing our program. But I've seen preachers go through there, browbeat the people to get their money and get in the pledge, and then they get in the middle of it and they can't make it. Because he's kind of browbeat them, put them in a place, and then it's like, well, you know, wait a minute. Here it is. I remember
a couple years ago, I said, every dollar you give to the expansion program is a vote that we're going to do it. I don't know if you remember me saying that, but I said, every dollar is a vote. We'll see if we're going to do it. Let's see if we can save up some money. Every buck's a vote. Now, fact is, we can push doors open. Sometimes I've seen people get into a position. I've seen some, watch this. Listen, if you have to talk and beg your girlfriend to marry you, find a different girl. I'm serious. Because you're going to get in the middle of that, and all of a sudden, you're stuck. I'm not saying be nice, but you ought to be nice just because you're supposed to be nice. You know, but they open up some doors, and all of a sudden, they're in this problem, and they call it, well, it must be a Red Sea. God, it was all part of God's plan. It wasn't part of his plan. It's part of your plan. Got to be careful. Now, sometimes God puts roadblocks in to keep you from disaster. But we're determined to get there and not let anything stop us, not even God. Are you the one pushing your way through? Maybe God's been trying to get your attention to stop you, but you wanted what you wanted, and finally God is putting up a roadblock, and we call it a Red Sea. Well, you know, we all have our cross to bear. You picked up a couple crosses along the way you had no reason to pick up. Has God been directing, but now you're... Now, wait a minute. It's the other side. Has God been directing, but now you're fearful to take the next leg of the journey? Well, have you been truly following and obeying? Is your delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth you meditate day and night? So that you're like a tree planted by rivers of water, that brings forth fruit in its season, and the leaf also not wither, and whatsoever you do, it shall prosper. The Israelites prospered, even with the Red Sea. They just had one hard night. They had a scary night there, but they're just moving on. It was just a moment for God to show who he is. It may look impossible, but nothing's impossible with God. It doesn't seem to be working, but it's clearly God's plan. It is probably just another Red Sea. It looks big to us, but to God is just a drop in a bucket. He blows it dry with his breath. This is not something we conjured up. This is not some scheme that Israelites concocted. If it had been of their own design, they may have put themselves in this corner. Make sure you're following God and not your own wants and your own desires. I come to church sometimes, sometimes I don't. I want to know all this book that I can get. Now, I can feed myself, but I remember there was a day when I read that thing and I get tired. My wife and my son, you can tell by the way they know the Bible how they just read and read and read and read and read. Man, I do a couple chapters of... You know? And then I got to go back and hit it again. I need to study and come back and hit it again. But the fact is, I can sit and listen to a message. That's one reason I love to go to church. I'm an oral learner, not a visual. I'm an oral learner. You tell me. So I'll get a preacher up here, and he'll tell me. I tell you, I learned so much theology, and then I go back to the book. Oh, there it is. And I've read it, and I've seen it. And that's why I like to have the book open when we're preaching. I want to know what it is. That's why I love a conference like we had last week. That's why I bring folks in here, because the fact is, if you'll just come, I'm serious. If you just come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you'd be surprised how much Bible you would know and how much better we could discern truth from error, the will of God and not the will of God. You might be surprised how much better we can do because we're following his plan, not our plan. We'll be able to discern these things. When he said that the book of law should not depart out of their mouth, they didn't all have a Bible to take home and put on the coffee table and gather dust like we do. They had to go and hear it. Well, go and hear it and learn it and get the principles. You'd be surprised what might happen. Now, number two, if it's a Red Sea, we are in this predicament because we were following God. So you know what some people do? Well, God must be goofing up. God's getting senile. It's pretty old, you know. Sometimes I don't think he hears real well either. Voice gets a little quiet. I don't hear sometimes. It is a still small voice. Maybe we should need to stand still and listen to what he has to say. But we are in, he says, they were in that predicament because they were following God. This is not some unrelated issue. The Lord knew that this was coming as a strategic time in order to show us He is God. Have you ever seen sometimes when you thought, everything is just right, as long as nothing gets knocked out of position, we're going to be okay. And sure enough. I don't know about you, we're almost like we're superstitious. Don't say anything about going wrong. We'll probably make it happen. We'll jinx it. There's no such thing as jinx. But I will tell you this, there is such thing as a God who wants to show us that He's the one that has the power and He's the one that has the control. Because about that time, we think we're doing it, and He has to show us that we're not. Why has He got to do that? So that we'll trust Him, because without faith it's impossible to please Him. But he that cometh to Him must believe that He is, and a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. He wants us to learn to do it. Listen, the Lord knew this was coming. God wanted this to happen, not to stop us, but to teach us. And this is where God brought us. And if God brought us here, then God will see us through here. All right, let me give you a third point. They came out on their own free will. There was no way Moses could have forced them all to leave. There's millions of people out there. He didn't go around each door and knock on the door and get them up that morning. Wake up, we're all going. No, He didn't do that. They all said, I like this plan. It looks good to me. Why don't we just keep going? Here we go, let's go. And everything's fine. Listen, they're paying us to leave. We get to go out here. We're going to the promised land. Let's go. Here we go. We're moving. Listen, I tell you what, it's going to be a great day. Okay, here we go. Red Sea. All righty, here we go. We're going to. Now, wait a minute. We came out on our own free will. We're blaming God. He says, no, here's what I'm offering. I'm offering it to you. Will you take it? He said, yes, we'll take it. They wanted to stone him earlier when he first went in there and ended up making the job harder because they had to make the bricks without the stubble and all this stuff, you know. They wanted to stone him. And as long as everything's fine and looks like smooth sailing, the people go along. And when they're leaving with a high hand, they were all in favor, and a bunch of mixed multitudes came along for the ride. But when God tries their faith, they're ready to desert and mutiny. If this is just a Red Sea, don't desert and mutiny. You went along with the plan. God hasn't messed up His plan. Number four, some thoughts I want you to, some applications are kind of not necessarily in a continuum here. Number four, we may have to wait in the night a while God removes the Red Sea. We might have to wait in the night a while God removes the Red Sea. See, we'll say, well, okay, it's a Red Sea. Fix it. It's just like that guy says, Lord, give me patience. Now! You know how you learn patience? Don't ever pray for patience. No, I'm going to say don't ever. But you always say, don't ever. You pray for patience, you know how He's going to do it. He's going to exercise your patience. So that he will stretch it out longer and longer before the answer comes. That's how we learn to have patience. Because patience is a patience of hope. A confident expectation God has us cared for. So I can wait. And the reason I can wait is because I know that God knows the right time. If it's not time yet, then it's not the right time. And so I'm just going to wait while I'm waiting for God to do the right time. Well, there they sit in the middle of the night. Here it is. Now, there's this cloud of fire, but they don't know what's going on the other side. They didn't hear the conversation between God and Moses. All they know is there they sit. There's a sea over here. There's mountains over here. And there's a bunch of Egyptians over here. And everything that's between us and them is this cloud. But it's just cloudy enough. It's kind of like once in a while you get a fog around here. You can already see the end of the hood of your car, you know, sometimes. It was just a cloud. You couldn't see on the other side. We were not told what God was going to do. Moses was. We're just supposed to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, whatever that is. And remember the stand still part. You see, again, it's not like the movie. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he does this and the water parts and the music starts playing and the way they go across there, you know. He said, stand still while it was light, and then it got dark. Okay. I'm standing still. Now what? You're not doing anything, Lord. Come on. Come on, you can do it. Come on. How do we know they're not going to come flying through that cloud into us? Or go around the thing, get us, I don't know, what are they going to do? It's a Red Sea. Don't expect it just to remove like that. It may, but it may not. Have you ever noticed in the Bible, almost every time God works, it's a little different? Because he doesn't want us to get, he doesn't want us to have faith in a process. He wants it to be a surprise every time. Because he wants us to have faith in him. Fear of the unknown will kill you. Faith in the unknown of God is a peace that passes understanding. We don't know if any progress is even being made on the other side of the cloud. We just need to stand still, keep our grimy, sticky fingers off of it, and wait for God to move. Number five, kind of goes along with it. We can get scared while we wait. We might have to wait a while, and we can get scared while we wait. The Egyptians are right over on the other side of the cloud. There's nothing between us. Listen, there's nothing between us and the Egyptians but God. That's who the cloud was, right? There's nothing between us. We can't see a thing. I mean, there it is. There's nothing between us and death but God. Do you realize every day you live, there's nothing really between you and death but God? In his mercy, he gives us breath to breathe. He gives us food to eat. He puts roof over our head. Everything we have is because God. Give you number six. If we surrender to the opposition, the Egyptians, okay, let's say, well, you know what? There's a wall of water here. There's water here. There's mountains here, and there they are. The mountain's not moving, and we assume the water's not moving. So really, the only way out is to kind of acquiesce to the Egyptians. If we surrender to the opposition, we will never get to the promised land. And we will see it, and we will never see it and enjoy it. In fact, they probably would have declared that it was right, it was the right decision to turn back and had never seen the promised land. Well, I guess it wasn't God's will. No, you weren't willing to wait in the dark. Sometimes we just well, that's we were that close. Getting across the river, across the sea, and we give up. That close. We'll never see the promise. I wonder how many times we were that close to breaking through and seeing God do something. You said, "What? Well, you don't know, we didn't have any choice." The choice was to stand still. Last week, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Because sometimes we got to trust him right up to the nth degree. Lazarus had had to trust for Lazarus even past the nth degree. He was long dead, so dead he stinks. And God says, "I still got life." Number seven, we need to surrender not to the opposition. We need to surrender to the Lord's process. Surrender to the process that he's taking us through. Surrender to his plan. But the plan has a process to it. If we do not wait on the Lord, we will never get to the promised land where God was trying to get us to. We will never be able that, I'm living on the mountain underneath a cloudless sky. Praise God, I'm feasting at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh man, I'm drinking the fountain. And feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. For I am dwelling in Beulah Land. Some of you want to live in a rest, but we never quite get to the resting place of the promised land because we weren't willing to stand still at the Red Sea. We didn't trust him to get us past the Red Sea. It was hard. Not certainly hard if you don't have faith. And you need enough faith to stand still. We will be standing in the way of God's will if we don't surrender to the process. We will think God failed and we were right in the thinking that God cannot handle it. That's what we're going to think. We may need to stand still for a time and watch and learn and develop as we see God move the problem out of the way with a simple breath. Do right. Number 8. Almost done. My clock actually stopped. You probably think your watch stopped too, don't you? My clock stopped here, but I'm almost done. Are you here at the Red Sea because you were not following God? A Red Sea is different than problems along the way. So we're here because we're following God, but sometimes we're here because we're not following God. And I kind of touched on this, but I want to give you a couple instances and we're all done. Health issues may be a Red Sea and they may not be. You got to be careful with that. Well, I've got this health issue. It may be a Red Sea. It may be just being part of this old world, this old sin-cursed world we're in. It could be, as Paul, God has a thorn in your side in order to keep you humble and pliable and thus usable. It's possible. I don't know. God put Paul in prison a bunch of times, but of course that's when he wrote the Bible, his parts of the Bible. Probably wouldn't have sat down long enough to do it if he hadn't. He wasn't going to move it out of the way until it was time. I don't. You need to think about this. Watch. Self-inflicted health issues are not a Red Sea. God didn't put that roadblock in place. We did. God can make all things work together for good if we will start loving Him and obeying Him now. But He may not if we refuse to obey Him. We need to be willing to repent and go back to where we got off the path. Watch. Telling your boss off and getting fired and having a hard time finding a job is not a Red Sea. Now, you may have to quit a job because of issues that goes against your moral convictions according to the Bible. You might have to do that. And that may seem like a big, I did that. Nothing changed. I was struggling where I was working years ago, and nothing changed until I resigned. Within a week, I had another job lined up. Nothing was there. What I had to do was to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I'll be a father unto you. That's different. But there's some things we do. Listen, don't go in there and tell your boss off, give a piece of your mind, and then get fired and say, well, it's just the Red Sea. No, it isn't. You stuck yourself in that mud. Running out on your wife and family and losing it all is not a Red Sea. It's a consequence of our sin. We didn't get there because of following God. You see what I'm saying? The difference between a Red Sea and some other issues that we have here? Drinking too much and getting a DUI is not a Red Sea. Well, God has a plan for everything. And His plan didn't include you even picking up that bottle or that can. That was never part of His plan. That was part of your plan. Getting high on drugs and doing something stupid and causing yourself issues is not a Red Sea. Now, God may use it to teach you some things, but He didn't put it there. See, the Red Sea is something God put in your place right in the middle of His plan to show you what He can do so that He can finish the plan. Listen, they talked about going across the Red Sea for centuries, for generations and generations, and we still are. And they can say, well, God can see us through the wilderness. He saw us through the sea. I remember we were out of, when I was going to college. We got to the point where we had no money. Didn't where I got laid off because of the recession and all kinds of stuff. I'm trying to find work, can't find work, and I'm wondering where our next meal is going to be. And the fact is, it was just the Red Sea because it was part of God's plan. He paid every bill on time, every time. It was no problem. It was a Red Sea. It was just a momentary block to show us his power. So when we came up here and they said, well, why would you come be our pastor? Because we can't pay you. I said, it's okay. I don't work for you anyway. I work for him. He's the one that has the money. This is just a franchise. He wants to get rolling again. Yes, the money comes through you, but you get the blessing, get the blessings and from giving of your tithe, and I get paid out of it. He provided. Sometimes it was a ham or a turkey at the door, but he provided. I've gained weight since I've been here, not lost. But if there's things that I'm causing, don't blame it on God. And don't think he's going to blow it away just like a Red Sea. They did not say, oh God, what have we done? We forgive, we confess our sin only by the... No, there was no sin to confess at that point. It was him. I'll tell you, when we get to the point, though, when we've made the problem, we've caused the roadblock, that's what we need to do. Go back to him and say, here I am, sin and all. And I'm in a predicament that I should have never been in, and it's all my fault. And God says, if we cover our sin, we shall not prosper. Not get anywhere. If we confess and forsake, we'll have hope. All right. One last thing. Number 9. Don't claim someone else's Red Sea. Let me say it again. Don't claim someone else's Red Sea. Don't allow the Red Seas of others to stop you in your tracks. Can't believe God did that to him. He was moving along really well. And God just, Your grown children have their own free will. And we are very limited in how intrusive we can be. Don't blow the sea open for them. If God's taking them through a Red Sea, let God take them through a Red Sea. Because if you blow it open, they'll trust you. They'll never learn to trust him. This is hard. That's real hard. You may feel hurt because of what someone you love has done and the position it has put them in. But that's not your Red Sea. Don't lose your faith in the Lord because he has put a Red Sea in the way of someone else. They may not handle it well and never see the promised land, but don't you judge God. Just some thoughts on the Red Sea. God has a plan. God's plan is to accomplish his purpose. His purpose for us to be conformed to his image, to be all that we can be in him. And God has the power to accomplish the plan. And God owns the problems. And we need to pause and see God's power destroy the problem. Many of our insurmountable issues are simply Red Seas designed by God, placed there by God to show God's power and might and glory so that all may know that the Lord, he is God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. I know we're here a little bit extra long here this morning, but Lord, I thank you for speaking to us. Lord, my guess is there's some folks here who've been going through some Red Seas. It could be there's some folks who are in the thorns and the briars. And they weren't placed there by you. They got out because they got off your plan. Lord, whatever the need is, we thank you that we can come to you. We are never so far away that you cannot hear. We're never so far away that you cannot heal. Thank you for being who you are. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.